Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. My name is Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Oh, I've been doing a lot of this binging and cringing. All right, one show on Netflix I decided to watch because of this podcast.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it prompts me to watch a lot of film, like movies, what have you. Yeah,
And then I get to say to other people, I'm doing this for work.
I like saying that. Like when I'm like, guys, I got to fit some time in. The new Jack Ryan dropped. I got to catch at least half the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I got to go work, guys.
You seem to be just
sitting and watching. Yeah, I know. I'm working. Hush.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so Atypical on Netflix. Do you know anything at all about it?
I know what the word means.
Okay.
It's
got Jennifer Jason Leigh as the mom and Michael Rapaport as the dad. And I'm sure I'll say his name wrong because I don't know how to pronounce K-E-I-R. Keir? Keir. Keir.
K-I-N-G-O.
K-E-I-R.
K-I-N-G-O.
Oh, boy. Keir Gilchrist is the star. And I'm trying to see if he was in anything we would know. No. Okay. Anyway, this is in its second season. So I've only seen one or two episodes. And he plays an 18-year-old senior in high school somewhere on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hilarious. And it's more drama than a D, but there is comedy in there, because Adam, isn't life funny?
Sometimes I find it tragic and
Leigh funny.
Horrific.
So here's the thing: they don't say precisely, but he's on the spectrum, and he really loves research, and he really loves computers, he really loves penguins, and so.
Oh, who doesn't?
Everything is bookended with him talking to his counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just telling about his day and things like that, and just how literal. Like he
kind of like the first couple seasons of Sopranos, but with less murder and ties to the mob.
There is correct. I don't see that there's any of that in this at all. He has a sister who always looks out for him. She's awesome. Immediately, she sees all the pretty people at school. They've written Orca on somebody's locker. And, you know, the girl who's 20 pounds heavier than the rest of them is clearly a whale. So what does she do? She goes up to the pretty girl and punches her in the face, which is awesome. Not that you should do that, but
violence isn't the key, guys.
But still.
But sometimes you get what you deserve.
Yeah. And that was awesome. And so.
What was it, the Rolling Stones? You just might find you get what you need.
Exactly. And then the mom says, you know, we shouldn't have done that. And the daughter says, well, you were her in high school because she was dance team this and national. So it was really awesome. And a love of the underdog there. So in the pilot anyway, his counselor says, you know, people on the spectrum, they can date and get married. You know, we're not talking the autism that we once heard of was autism where you're nonverbal. He's got, as they say, some things he has to work through, and he's very, very literal. So he asks a girl out, and he says, you're very pretty. And she says, I always thought my nose was too big. And he says, well, it is, but the rest of your face makes up for it. And she thinks that he's just being funny.
He's like, just clever.
No,
and
no. And he goes, I really find it refreshingly different. And, for instance, I can't say the word, but a word was used. And as a conversation with his family is going on, when one of the people just said this word in a discussion, and then you hear him, and the camera follows him around the kitchen and dining room, and he says, sometimes a word will just repeat itself in my head over and over and over. So you have him saying this word over and over while the conversation is going on. It's like, oh, I'm not on the spectrum, but I got my share of isms and issues and sometimes phrases. I can't stop myself from saying them. And some people think I'm just quirky. Sure, go ahead. But I totally got that.
That's a much less offensive pejorative word. We'll go with quirky. I like it.
I totally got what he was saying because, like, I don't know, maybe a few hours later, he just screams the word, which from everyone else's perspective is out of nowhere. So see, that's where it's funny.
But in his head, it's been going there for 3 hours.
Yeah, so it's very interesting the way they show what he's thinking in that way. And they also show exactly what they should show. His friends, they just treat him like a normal guy. I mean, he is. I mean, I don't know what the figures are now, but, you know, lots of people have been put, they're diagnosed being on the spectrum. It's not unusual. I'm sure you know people on the spectrum. And so their friends are just saying, you know, well, you've got, you talk about penguins, like, more than most people, but other than that, like, you're a good guy, and so on and so forth. I found it interesting, and I liked the funny aspect of it, and I'm curious.
And interestingly enough, it does not sound like your atypical show. Like,
no,
it is a fresh perspective on something. Like, if you're like, you know, a quirky dad that has like this mom that's really like harsh and like overly like protective of her children. Like, we've seen that sitcom before.
Yeah, we have
seen it a couple times. Or maybe the dad's a goof and the mom's got to keep him in check. Seen that one too. That the show that you're describing to me, I haven't seen that before.
Right. And what I also liked about the parents, and I know many people who have kids on the spectrum. My kids are not. Wouldn't matter if they were. But my kids have their own isms, as I do. And I totally got what the parents were saying. They weren't complaining about him, but they were making a comment like, you know, we haven't done this anymore since here are his emotion cards. Because one of his problems is he cannot tell what someone's emotion is by the look on their face. And so that's a problem in human communication. There's some hilarious footage.
If somebody's angry, there are certain things you probably don't want to say to them.
Yeah, and if you can't pick up on it,
yeah,
then that could get you beaten up. So you have to learn, even if you don't feel it, you got to learn. Him learning how to smile, hilarious. Because I know people like that, and they struggle with it. But he, you know, he has blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's different and refreshing and funny so far. I haven't watched 2 seasons. Maybe it gets awful, but I really liked it. And they have one that is similar on the CBS, I believe, called The Good Doctor.
I think it's just CBS.
Just CBS. Okay.
I don't think it's the CBS.
Much like the Asians are hot right now, the autism
the doctors
spectrum.
Are good,
no,
or?
The autistics are hot right now, and the Asian crazy rich autistic Asians. Oh. That would be through the roof. I'm serious. This is a very hot topic to be shown in media, and so there are more and more shows about it.
Shows and films that,
yes,
I don't want to say exploit this, but are probably examining like
yes.
it to a certain.
And as we've discussed before, when because we still are, but we grew up white, so we always saw us on TV and movies.
Travel to any point in time, Jane and I are probably represented. In if you're going back to like ancient Greece, like there are plays about white landowning males. Okay, I can go anywhere. I go back to cave paintings. Okay, there's a white.
That's my rock.
There's a white landowning male on the wall of that cave. Like there just is.
But what I love about this is people who, whether they're on the spectrum or not, there are people who have this repetitive thing going on. They've got all their isms and issues, and you see that now on TV. And I love that, because the more you see it, the more normal it is. And it is normal. It is normal for people to have it's. You people are the neuronormals, I believe is the phrase. I'm not neuronormal.
I believe that's one of the branches of the X-Men.
Yes. And I don't know how the neural normals survive, because your brains must be very dull. I've discussed this with my spouse. You know him as Jim. He apparently only thinks of...
He identifies as Jim.
As neuronormal. And apparently he only has, you know, one thought at a time when he's having a conversation. Because I'm having the conversation with Adam and you, the people. But I also have a whole bunch of other things going on
There's
in my
seven
head.
Seven other ones. Which is, I think
that's
the reason.
That's normal for me.
That is the reason Jane and I tend to tangent.
Like,
because it's like we're branching, like, through our minds. And I think it's whichever's like synapses
I thought you
fires
were saying witchcraft.
Whichever synapse like fires the loudest and the hardest.
Yeah.
That's the next thing that we talk about on the podcast. Like, that's the reason why, like, say if we're reviewing, you know, a TV show, and suddenly if you're not paying too much attention, now we're talking about like grated Parmesan cheese, and they're like, weren't they just talking about Donna Reed? Well,
for instance,
how did that happen?
Adam just said the word suddenly, and simultaneously, also an S word that ends in an E sound, my mind said suddenly last summer, weird movie, and suddenly Susan, not so great. Just from the word suddenly, it's just boom, right there. I chose not to express it at the time. That wasn't that funny, but that's an example. That's how it works.
Also the reason why we don't have an 8-minute podcast. Like,
impossible.
Our synapses alone will take us, I don't know, 20, let's say 20 minutes, like,
easy,
worth a podcast there.
So that's one reason why I really enjoyed Atypical. It is, I'm going to say, for the adult themes, I'm going to put it 15, 16 and up. Anna Grace is a mature 13. I think there are some scenes that I could, like, show her and Jenna, and they'd really
it
like.
It sounds like the type of show that, as a, if you are a parent, probably watch it before you decide whether or not you're going to let your child do it. Because just 13 for one kid is not necessarily the same amount of maturity as 13 for another
kid. I'm thinking most junior seniors in high school, fine. Then, and you're right, then freshmen, so it depends on the kid.
Take a look at it. You know your kids, or if you don't,
find out who they are.
Why don't you?
Yes. what's your problem? Like, what's your problem?
Be a parent.
don't just show
and
up.
And once you find out who your kids are, then watch it, then determine it.
Yes. So there is that. I enjoyed that very much. Then, by the way, have you watched anything? Because I've got bunches.
I am constantly trying to catch up on sleep. I do watch things, but I am very bad to watch the same, like, even though I know that I should be watching new things because I need to for this, sometimes I'll just be like, but I want to watch that episode of Deep Space Nine again. Or,
I see.
Ooh, look, Star Trek The Next Generation, hit play.
Like, Jenna keeps watching. As a matter of fact, we watched it before I came in here today. 30 Rock, my 12 and 13-year-olds, that's one of their favorite shows, thank you, God, is 30 Rock. And her favorite episode of 30 Rock is The Reunion. And
my favorite episode of 30 Rock is any episode of 30 Rock. I think you and I were talking about the, like, there. I don't remember a bad episode of Breaking Bad, or I don't remember a bad episode of Mad Men. Like, and in the same way, I don't remember there being an episode of 30 Rock where I was just like, oh, man, Shark jumped.
No, it just didn't happen.
Oh my goodness, we nuked the fridge on that. What was that about? Like,
she really identifies with Alec Guinness's phrasing and Tina Fey's, but Jack Donaghy goes to Liz Lemon's reunion and she goes, why are they even believing you? You're this guy. You're like 13 years older than them. And he goes, Liz, Rich 50 is regular 38. It's totally believable. It's like, he's right. And his phrasing when someone goes, hey, Bart Braverman? He goes, yes, I am Bart Braverman. And then this girl who had a relationship with Bart Braverman comes up and says, Bart, say it to me again. And he said, you mean those words that I said at that place that one time? Yes. And he says, no. It's just so good.
Oh.
Again, anyway.
We just went back into the, like, it's hard not to, I think it's the same reason you also see, like, sequels that are so popular. Like, it's easy to want to go back to what we know that we enjoy. Like, if you've got a, everybody's got, like, you know, that sub you love to get at Subway. Your favorite pizza combination.
I'm really in a Philly cheesesteak mode. I've been there a few months now.
Like, there's a, what is it, Italian Hero, like, pizza right now. Like, part of me wants to try that, but the other part of me also knows that, like, I love mushrooms, sausage, and peppers. Like, I know that I like that. I absolutely know that I'll enjoy it. I can get some stuffed crust on that. Like, I don't have to, like, I don't get it and then try it and be like, it's not as good as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And much in the same way, sometimes I don't want to branch out into a new TV show.
I know.
Which is the reason why a podcast like Binge or Cringe needs to exist, so people can go, yes, definitely do that. Or, listen, we went to this M-class planet, and it's nothing but volcanic ash. Our faces are scarred and burned. Mm-hmm. Stay away from that planet.
And that's a real thing. So, it truly is, I guess, the whole dopamine thing. I know, and I know you'll agree as well. We turn on 30 Rock. I get this feeling inside. It's like, I know it's going to be funny because I know what's happening. Yeah, it's like watching Monty Python.
It's just,
I know it's going to make me happy.
It's satisfying. I don't have to wonder if it's going to do it. Like, with new shows, even if they're from, like, reliable, like, creators, people that I have watched television, like Dick Wolf, who did all of the Law and Orders. Boom, boom. He is doing a new show on, I believe, CBS called...
CBS.
Oh, dear. What FBI.
Okay.
Dick Wolf is a pretty... I mean, he's a pretty reliable producer. Like, Law & Order is a very interesting show. Like, that's the reason why it had, like, 17 spinoffs and 20 years, like, running for one of them. But I haven't seen FBI. I know that he knows how to make television. But part of me wants to stay with something that...
And you
know
what?
Is good.
I think part of it is your age, because as, again, identifying as Jim, my spouse, he says, I don't need to learn any new music. I mean, yeah, Uptown Funk. It's a great song. I don't care.
Am I any better for knowing it as opposed to the catalog of the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, it's like I like what I like, and I'm fine with that, and I don't need to hear anything new.
It's like those people that, like, they go out on Fridays and Saturdays because they want more friends. Like, I'm just like, I'm real satisfied with the friends I got. Like, I can't imagine there is anybody out there at least as interesting as my stupidest friend.
Steve Martin has a bit, and this is an old bit. I want to say it's on Comedy Is Not Funny, and that goes back a ways. And he says how he doesn't like dating young girls. Here, try this new thing. And he's like, sorry, I'm closed. He says, the young girl's not interested. I don't want to try a new thing. I want to do what I'm doing. That's all.
I can see that.
I hear, here, try this new thing, and him making the door shutting noise in my head a lot. So, I did watch a new thing, though.
I know they love to argue that, like, the older you get, the more set in your ways you get. But, like, there's some truth to that adage. Like... I like what I like. Even new video games. Like, unless you're based on, like, a franchise that I played when I was 7, you've got a really hard time convincing me that I need... Because, I mean, like, let's say a good video game is going to give you 20 to 30 hours of original gameplay. Like an RPG, or I don't play a lot of FPSs. But, like, if I'm going to invest that amount of time into it, like, I know that Legend of Zelda... going to be a good game. Even if it's not the best game in the franchise, the worst Legend of Zelda game you've ever played is better than, I'm going to say, the best Call of Duty game out there. It is. Mario Brothers, whatever the follow-up to Mario Odyssey, it's going to be a great game. Like, if it's not a 10 out of 10, like, maybe they faltered, maybe they tripped a little and this one wasn't as good and it's only a 9.5 out of 10. Mario games are always fantastic.
There's like, only one game I want to play. It's Crash Bandicoot, and it's the one where you're on. It's a girl, and she's on a tiger on the Chinese Wall. I can do that one. They jump over the barrels.
That's a really
old game.
Specific.
Yes, and then
that's not even like the entire game.
No.
That's,
and then it's the old guy in the boat that gets in your way, and there are bombs in the water. That's really all I want to play, and I don't have it anymore. I don't have anything to play it on, and. Every time someone says, hey, let's play this video game, it's like, is it Crash Bandicoot? Can I get on the tiger? Not interested.
And they're just like, that's strange. No, it's not Crash Bandicoot. It's
not interested. But if there was a way for me to have that game and play it whenever I want it.
If you can give me a better description of it than that, like, I know that I can make that happen.
Oh, well, that's one of the worlds. It's Crash is on it. Okay.
Right, but he has, that's like saying, well, it's a level of Mario, and like he was wearing overalls and he jumped. I know that happened
in
that level.
It's got like this tribal type head in it. Is that in all of them?
I'm just saying, like, everything that you're describing to me could be literally any Crash Bandicoot game. Like, you're not even narrowing it down to, like, which generation console it appeared to... Like, was it PlayStation? Was it PlayStation 2? Was it handheld?
Okay. It was PlayStation or... PlayStation 2.
No.
I think it was the original PlayStation. I'm, like, 99% sure the original PlayStation.
Now, here's the catch about that, though. Even if you did play it on the PlayStation 2, original PlayStation games were backwards compatible on the PlayStation 2. So you may have played it on a PlayStation 2, but it was a PlayStation 1 game.
We didn't have... did we? I don't know. Hold on. Let me look. I'm gonna know.
Is there an adult that I can talk to about this that could help me? Is there any adult that would know?
No. But I'll recognize the cover art. I know I will. Come on, Wikipedia, load.
Crash Bandicoot has been making games steadily for the last 20 years. I'm not saying every year, but probably every other year at least.
Yeah? Okay. Just show me the list of games, you stupid phone.
I was going to say, she's talking to the phone and not me now, guys.
That's right,
right. Just in case. She's like, show me the game, stupid. Be like, fine, hold on. Let me bring it up on my phone.
I don't know what the...
Google, show me Crash Bandicoot.
Okay, I can... So he walks up, and they're like... five circles, and he has to jump on a circle, and that takes you into the game. And there's a girl that looks like, you know, when Bugs Bunny has a girlfriend that's actually voiced by a female and not Bugs Bunny in drag, but they're like little Bugs Bunny and little girl Bunny, Lola. Stupid name for a bunny. Anyway,
the one that was in Space Jam?
Yeah, and she looks like that, only she's not a bunny, I don't think, and she rides the little tiger.
Is she a bandicoot?
I don't know. And then there's something with a village and the frogs always eat you. And then, the horrible one is when you're Crash Bandicoot.
I want to put a disclaimer on this particular podcast, guys. Jane has not been doing any recreational drugs before that. Everything that she is saying happened in a video game.
And you're Jenna would know the name of this. But I hate the one where you're in the scuba outfit and you have to zap stuff and you always get hit by the wires and the electric eels. I want to play that game.
Are you sure you're not talking about Earthworm Jim? Because some of the episodes that you are describing to me sound like Earthworm Jim games too.
This is Crash Bandicoot. And I know that it was the original because we had an original, or maybe it was the two, because I had to go and find the old, I had to buy old remote thingies because we didn't have enough
controllers.
To play. Yes, controllers.
Remote thingies.
And we spent one spring break that was really cold about 5 or 6 years ago playing these, and they were old then.
That's
okay.
This is
all right. I'll find out.
I'm telling you, if Crash Bandicoot was your kid,
Time Warp,
and you,
Time
that Warp? Is a Crash Bandicoot game.
I think that was it.
Warped was a game. Warped, yes. I was going to say, you're narrowing it down. This is good. This is good.
Okay, that is not something that I binge watched.
No, Crash Bandicoot doesn't even, I don't even think he has a cartoon.
But I would really like to play that game. I don't even know how that came up. Anyway, because of the many Emmy wins, and because my friend Charlotte O'Dowd is one of the extras in the first or second show, so I throw that in there. I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's some alliteration.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And what this is the only actor I think you'll know is Tony Shalhoub, who plays her father.
Fantastic Monk. Or,
yes, he's amazing.
Or also Jack Jeebs in Men in Black.
He was up for an Emmy for this role. He lost to the Fonz, but that's okay.
Man, I'll tell you, if you're going to lose to anybody...
Lose to the Fonz.
Like, if you told me, they'd be like, listen, Mr. Cravens, you did not win. I'd just be like, oh, son of... And they'd be like, but it was Henry Winkler. And I'd be like,
okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, Jim was telling me about the Emmys, and he goes, and then the show for Benny. It's like, oh, Benny's hilarious. He goes, you watched the show that he won. I said, yeah, I totally watched it. Wait a minute. Maybe it's not called Benny. What's his face?
It's
Bill
the
Hader.
One on HBO.
Bill Hader.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a serial killer.
And he's like
killer,
his acting
but
coach.
But he wants to be an actor.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Is it called Benny, or am I mixing it up with Jack Black again?
I believe this one actually is called Benny.
Okay. Anywho, excellent show. I digress. So, Mrs. Maisel, it takes place in 1958. First, let's talk about the clothes. Fabulous. Midge is from a very well-to-do Jewish family. There are lots of Jewish families in this because that's part of the story. Very well-to-do Jewish family, and it's 1958.
Barry.
Barry
is the name of the show.
Did I say Benny?
Yes.
Were there any Jets? No. So no. Barry. Watch Barry, and Henry Winkler's in it, and he won an Emmy. So very well-to-do. And so in 1958, one aspect of the show, which will mean nothing to you, but you would appreciate the work that's gone into it, the costuming. So you have the very wealthy 1958 styles of clothes where women were expected to have gloves and this and that.
I know that it is an added expense to television shows and films and stuff like that. But, like, okay, take a look at – just name any random, like, Tarantino movie. Like – if you'll watch any of the stuff that's coming out for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that film, like just the way it looks, like, or the way Jackie Brown, like, look, the aesthetic, especially when you're giving it a time period, the 60s and 70s, if you were going to give me a choice to set a film or a TV show anywhere, that's where I love the way all that looks, like Mad Men. Mad Men is just splattered with, like, 60s style, like, all over it. X-Men First Class, set in the 60s. There's an interesting aesthetic to that that,
very
like,
much so.
The 80s, 90s, the aughts, or even today do not possess.
So I want you to think of a movie made in the 50s, like a musical, an MGM musical from the 50s. What do you – don't even name one, but what do you think of?
Like suits, like well-combed hairs.
Yeah. Lots of colors. Very
just
bright.
Just a vomiting
yes.
Technicolor.
That's what this is. And it's glorious. Really. And I've never been a wealthy Jewish woman in the 50s, but they're living in the Upper West Side, or Upper East Side. They're living where all the money lives in Manhattan. And so you see these amazing penthouses.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is... Midge becomes friends with this woman who, I have to look her up because I know her from somewhere, but she is always being mistaken for a man. She has like a newsboy cap on. She's wearing pants and she lives in an apartment about the size of a closet. And so she gets to experience this life when she walks into her new friend's place and she says, who has dishes for 30 people to have breakfast at, you just know, who has this
you just got to pull that trigger. Like you don't even have to ask somebody to go get them. You'd be like, yeah. They're in the storeroom. Yeah.
And what Mrs. Maisel has been raised to be the perfect wife. So you have someone who had an excellent education from educated parents, a lot of money, but her goal is to marry well, raise a family, and know how to entertain. So she knows she can get that stain out for you. She knows how to plan for a dinner for 50.
You know what else I love about that time period? How people relaxed, and I'm using quotation.
Yeah.
Like when the man would come home from work, take off his tie and his suit coat, and then change into another button-down shirt that, like, doesn't have a tie but still has a starched collar and it's tucked in to a pair of pleated khaki pants. I'm like, that's not I mean, you're not wearing a tweed suit anymore, but how are you relaxing it? Like, when I relax, Jane, like, I'm wearing mesh shorts. Like, I'm not wearing...
So, like, now.
What you see me wear every time that we see... Yes, that.
So, just...
I need to mow the lawn. Let me go get my polo shirt.
Just looking at it. By the way, it's on Amazon Prime. Looking at this show, it's glorious. Truly.
I would not be surprised if it hasn't won a couple like costuming Emmys or whatever.
Okay. Oh, I didn't.
She's not hurt. Just for those of you who are not in the studio right now.
I can't believe I didn't recognize her. Well, I know now why I didn't recognize her, because of how they made her look. Well, here. I'm showing Adam a picture of this woman who I said is often mistaken for a man. Just take a glance. Do you know who that is?
Not directly.
It's Alex Borstein.
Exactly. Oh, I need a man who is not a,
yes,
not a man.
I mean, look at her again here. I mean, she's...
Okay. All right.
I see it now, but I kept thinking she looks like a shorter Julie Kavner.
She's the yes, voice of Lois on Family Guy,
and she's lovely.
You have heard this woman's voice if you like don't immediately like recognize who she is.
Yes. Okay. So that's who you'll know, and of course Tony Shalhoub. Now here's the story. You've got first of all, it's funny, and it's supposed to be funny. Yes, this is far more. I'm not going to say it's a dramedy. I'm going to say it's a comama. More comedy than drama. It's a comama.
Sounds like you got a stutter.
Comama. And other than the fact that it's beautifully done, the music is spectacular. You got the whole vibe going. And here's the story. Midge Maisel. Very beginning.
Is it doing like period stuff, or are we talking about like full orchestral on the music?
Period stuff.
And okay. That probably is fantastic.
Awesome.
Again, I know I'm bringing him up a lot, but like when Tarantino taps that soundtrack vibe, like, I mean, you're breathing like that time period then.
And so musically, that time period, I mean, you've got a lot of Sinatra and Dean Martin, but it's starting to shift. So this is pre-Beatles, but there's some scenes where they're doing not quite Everly Brothers, but that vibe and the beatniks are happening and all that stuff. And Lenny Bruce is in it. An actor playing.
Okay,
Lenny
I was like,
Lenny Bruce is dead.
Well, I didn't know if they were using like old footage.
There's no found footage in this. So here's the story. She's married, and her husband wants to be a stand-up comic. That is his goal. But you know from the beginning, he's just not funny. He just isn't.
Which is a requirement.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to be successful. Anybody can be a stand-up comedian. To be a successful one... You do require talent.
And he spends most of his time doing Bob Newhart's act. And they show Bob Newhart on Ed Sullivan, and that's when she finds out that he's been doing Newhart's act. And he goes, well, everybody steals.
Which, if you don't know anything about stand-up comedians, if you want to get disrespected in that community...
You steal.
Steal other people's jokes. Who was it that got in trouble? Amy Schumer. Like, YouTube sometime... Amy Schumer stealing jokes, and they have got a side-by-side comparison just showing her lifting.
Oh, I had no idea.
Material. And, like, the thing, Schumer's a funny, she's actually a funny person, but, like, they will show you point by point just going, here's where she got it from, here's where she got it. Like, she's stealing stuff from, like, Louis C.K., like, just stole some stuff from Dennis Leary, like, not obscure comedians.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, she takes notes. She fully supports her husband in this. She brings her brisket so he can get a better position in the lineup. And then he leaves her. And so she gets a little tipsy, goes to the place where he used to perform, and she does a set that is on fire and hilarious.
And not stolen.
not stolen. And that's what Alex Borstein's character has played, Susie, and she's the one who lines up the acts. And so she says, you're the funny one. Your husband has always sucked. And so it just goes on from there. You've got the family that wants them back together because, you know, we're family. I'll never see my grandchildren again. All that's going on.
And also it's the 1950s.
Yes.
So, like, it's not... I'm not saying, like, divorce is okay or, like, just completely... But it's not... Socially, it is more acceptable.
Yes, and it's not done.
In the 50s, right.
Yes, it's not done. And there's a big discussion on, well, what'll you do? I mean, because her mother goes on, you know, divorce is like a failure. And again, this is a highly educated woman, and the fact that they're looking at her like that, and her parents are like, you have to have someone. And what she does, she goes out and gets a job.
That's it, land, thanks.
I know, there's a scene.
All the papers.
Tony Shalhoub, as the dad, goes to the soon-to-be ex-husband and says, your wife is working. And he's appalled. They're all appalled. So that's going on.
You brought an embarrassment to this family. You're going out and earning money for yourself.
Oh, no.
It's not proper.
So there's all that. And then you have her working on her stand-up. And then you reach the point where she bombs. Oh, how does she meet Lenny Bruce? I'll tell you. So she is actually bombed on her first set. And she says all these things about her husband, which are hilarious. And then she says, why would he leave me for so-and-so? I got this. I got that. And then she lifts her shirt. And the police have been hanging outside. So she's arrested for indecency. And that's how she meets Lenny Bruce. So
Lenny Bruce, if you don't know, was not always
welcomed.
Wherever he went. Like that, I think that's the most polite way you can do it. Lenny Bruce was doing a lot of stuff that, like, comedians would maybe popularize in, like, even the late 80s. Right. He was doing this 20 years before mm-hmm. it was okay for you to say that kind of stuff. Bruce right. was way, way ahead of his time.
Yes, and so she just knew him as her friend Lenny. She finds out later that he's the Lenny Bruce,
yeah.
And so they're buds. So there's that going on. And at one point, she hires inconceivable. She hires him because he's a hack joke writer, but she doesn't know he's a Wallace Shawn.
And then she engages in a land war in Asia with him.
Yes. And so then she does jokes that he's written, and they stink. And because they're not for her. And what works for her is telling her stuff. Jane Lynch, it took me forever to figure out it was Jane Lynch because I recognized the cheekbones.
Another talented comedian.
And she plays a character who, a real person. Her name escapes me at the moment. I want to say.
Jane Lynch is real.
Yeah, I know. but her character is funny. When Midge goes to visit her as herself, she finds out she was wearing a fat suit. She finds out she's not from Queens. And she has a staff of like four people. She gives her a fur coat because she's already worn it twice. I mean, she's loaded.
Man, I wish I was in yeah. that situation. I'd just be like, you know, I need some socks, but I've already got the ones I wore three times and I don't.
Oh, there's a whole scene about her butler telling her what the light is like in the blue room because, you know, if it's too piercing, she just won't go in. And her whole meal is sucking on a lemon and taking a drink of tea. It's hilarious. And that sticks with Midge, who then does a stand-up routine about it and gets blackballed because this woman is the leading comedian of the time. Lenny Bruce, however, is thrilled. So it goes like that. And so it's a fascinating journey. It's a fascinating journey of self-discovery of Midge Maisel. But her sets are genuinely funny. So is the Lenny Bruce stuff. Things that happen are genuinely funny. And some of it is like, if you've never really thought about it before, let's say you're 20, 25, and you never really thought about what it was like to be a woman in the 50s who has a college education.
Which is something like, that's never really, I've never dwelled on much.
Yes, but these struggles are real, that she wasn't being appreciated for anything. She was just supposed to be pretty. What her mom had taught her, and you see her and her mom do the same thing, they wait till their husbands go to sleep, then they take off their makeup and do their hair. Then they set their alarms extra early so they can be totally made up with their hair done before their husbands wake up because they don't want their husbands to see them not looking perfect. It's all about looking perfect and being the perfect wife. That side is very interesting.
There's something, I don't want to say hysterical, just strange about.
Yeah, I had done that in the past. It's like no one can see me without my makeup on. And then all of a sudden you go, whatever. But it's beautifully done, it's well written, and it's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we were discussing before,
atypical.
Yeah. It's not your standard kind of standard operating procedure as far as the show goes. Like, it hasn't been explored and re-explored and, like, okay, Kevin James, who isn't untalented, but he seems to have one kind of character
right.
that he plays. If Kevin James ever gets a new sitcom, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you've probably already seen similar episodes mm-hmm. in King of Queens and, what is the, he did another one that had him and Leah Remini yeah, that I can't think of right
they
now.
They killed off the wife so they could bring Leah back. And
that's what I'm saying. Like
King of Queens with another title.
Queen of, yeah.
And not that King of Queens didn't have laughs. It did. We've just seen
but,
it.
But, yeah, I'm just saying, like, he's not, it ain't reinvention right,
right.
there.
Right. And I like Kevin James.
Like, okay,
but
Tim Allen, like, when he did Last Man Standing, was Last Man Standing truly that much of a departure from the character he played in Home Improvement?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, those two could have been brothers or really, really close cousins.
Mm-hmm. So this is different. And as we've discussed lovingly about the Lord of the Rings show that's coming to Amazon and the Jack Ryan show that Amazon has produced, Amazon is behind this, and they are spending some serious bank to make quality television, which is winning Emmys.
I think it's really interesting the amount of money you see poured into
not streaming, my bank account.
Well, streaming apps versus, like, television, like, oh, okay. For example, like, Disney is starting their own streaming app.
Mm-hmm.
And they have said that they are going to be doing Marvel shows within that context that are separate from the Marvel shows that have been produced on Netflix mm-hmm. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which airs on ABC. The budgets for, they're doing, actually, you need to tell the girls about this. Potentially one of the shows is, like, Loki Origin.
Oh, nice.
So, like, long as they can work all that stuff up with Tom Hiddleston and everything, there's going to be
wait, he's going to be in it?
That is, it's not confirmed.
Okay, now
but,
I have to,
but
now,
I'm saying, like, okay.
I have to subscribe.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like, that just sold you on it.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have access to, like, let's say Disney's classics, like their animated stuff. But, like, you want to see young Loki.
Yeah.
Especially played by Tom Hiddleston. What? And I mean, like, this show is probably going to have a budget of, like, $100 million for a season. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably does not have that. But, like,
right.
You're going to be getting into an area where, like, okay, your Marvel films are, that's the top tier. Like, mm-hmm. all of the canon and continuity is adhered to there. You get down, whereas in before, like, you had, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, any of those. Defenders, and they would mention stuff that happened in the movie, but the movie characters they weren't just like, oh yeah, like that blind ninja in mm-hmm. Hell's Kitchen. That didn't happen because, like, the amount of people that are watching the Netflix shows are dramatically less than, like, say, saw Avengers Infinity War mm-hmm. opening weekend. You're going to have a new set of TV shows. Now, Marvel is split into Marvel Studios and Marvel Television.
Mm-hmm.
But Marvel Studios is going to be producing the stuff on the app. Marvel Television, one of the reasons why it doesn't get, I guess, the continuity, like, with it, Kevin Feige, the guy that runs mm-hmm. all of that, is not in charge of that. It's a different, it's its own separate entity, and I think he kind of resents that. Somebody does. He is going to have his own Marvel Television shows now. And like I said, and it's going to, instead of having Coulson or Lady Sif occasionally, like from one of the side characters in one of the Thor movies appearing there, or having a character, like an auxiliary character, do a cameo in it. I'm not talking, like, let's say that there is a show and it's Sam Jackson playing Nick Fury in it. I mean, that's the equivalent what you're getting mm-hmm. of having, like I said, if this does all go through and Tom Hiddleston plays Loki in a Marvel Television show. When you can throw that kind of money at it, you can't compete with that if you're a show on, like, ABC that only has, mm-hmm. and like, when I say this, let's say it's a $4 million an episode. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But when your entire season can run for, let's say, 10 episodes or 12 episodes, and they've dropped $100 million on that, because I don't know the economics of how streaming apps, how that stuff exactly works.
Right.
Like, your traditional, like, advertisement setup is what kind of dictates how much you can spend on a network show. But these streaming apps seem like they have got a lot larger budgets. And I mean, they're something almost akin to film budgets.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we heard a little bit about it with the last Oscars. And the moral question is coming up. If you've made a movie of great quality and it is an original Netflix or an original Amazon movie,
just because it didn't have a theatrical window,
right, can it be up for an Oscar? It's a movie. It's not a TV show. You know, that was something that when the Oscars started,
wasn't an issue.
No.
Well, I mean, when the Oscars started, I don't think television.
Yeah, like, television won there,
that,
so.
That wasn't even an issue, period. Like, maybe Thomas Edison had one. Or, you know, Tesla had created one in his kitchen or whatever.
Doc Brown.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you had a television. But,
right,
like, streaming is 70 years off and probably an inkling in the mind of, like, maybe, like, Gene Roddenberry or...
I thought you were going to say Jesus, and I'd go, probably.
I bet he knew.
He knew.
He was just like, oh, guys, and streaming.
Just wait.
You're
just
not going to believe.
Wait.
You know, they'll be like, streaming. They'll be like, yeah, your cell phone. And they're like, cell phone. And he's like, never mind. Let's go eat fish and bread, okay?
Just you wait. It's like, dude, it's going to be awesome.
Here, I'm going to go multiply some fish. Check this out, guys. Ooh, what?
And I'm sure that he said the equivalent of dudes as well.
He probably did.
Because he's so cool.
This is going to be a thing, dudes. What? Brethren,
right,
follow me.
All right. I know. You guys aren't as cool as I. You know he was cool. You know.
Had to be.
Just, I mean.
Had to be.
Just.
Literally, just tell.
And I mean no disrespect. You know he was cool.
There's a guy on a boat, and he just said, follow me. He was so cool. Dude followed him.
I know.
Just followed him. Somebody walked up to me and I'm on a boat and they're like, follow me.
I'm like,
I'm going to tell you my, I can't tell you my reaction here, but I'm not following him.
Exactly.
Like, just putting it out there.
So,
but this dude was so cool. He's just like, yeah, I know this is your life's work. You're even holding a net now.
Man.
Put that down.
Come with.
Follow me.
That's cool.
Yeah. That is Uber.
And look
Uber
at this.
Cool.
You got a boat? I don't need a boat.
That is cooler than the Fonzie. Cool.
I know.
Henry Winkler is not even that cool.
So that is why are we talking about? Jesus knew about streaming.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure he did. So I have actually spent a lot of time thinking about this. I don't have an answer yet. If it's a movie, why can't it win an Oscar?
Well, I think because you also run into that if it airs on television, like let's say that it goes on to Stars first, then why is that not an Emmy film?
Exactly. And so then I know that somewhere, some state, one of the M states in the middle, it wasn't Maine.
Nope, not in the middle.
It was not. They were dealing with Netflix and cable.
Which is technically a television service.
And the thing is, was it a video service? And Netflix, I believe, is winning, or I thought they would win the suit, because they are a streaming app. They are not a video
television
service. So it's a very fine
like
line.
HBO having to compete in the Emmys makes sense because HBO is a network. Like,
mm-hmm,
it also has an app, but it's a television entity. AMC is a television,
yes,
entity. Netflix, Amazon.
Not a television entity. So.
Or Disney is. Disney will probably get into this as well with their streaming app. Is that just because I throw it, like when I stream it or cast it to my television, does that make it a television app? Because I can also cast any film I've watched. Like, let's say I'm watching Beirut. That was a theatrically released film. Like, does the origin
oddly
of...
Oddly enough, I was just watching Beirut.
Isn't it great?
I got interrupted. I haven't seen the end.
John Hamm still makes me angry. He has to wear a suit everywhere and look so dapper.
So bothersome.
So dapper!
And the guy, his friend...
Yeah.
I forgot the actor's name. Anna Grace could tell me. He plays Lucifer on Supernatural. And his Lucifer is very, very sarcastic and hilarious. Now, I know most people think, oh, Lucifer, probably not a funny character. This guy plays him funny.
I am going to argue with that and say that the depiction as he is given in the Bible.
Yes.
Like he was
It's a very biblical show for us.
He was initially like one of God's favorite like angels. I'm just saying like I don't want to like get into a theological debate here, but there is a strong possibility that Lucifer was a very charismatic like angel. Like I don't know how angels and all of that interacted, but especially like if you're going to have them appear on Earth, if this character was like that and had other angels and other like characters or like any of that want to follow him, charisma is usually part of the one of my favorite depictions of it is Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate. Like I really like as it appears in my head, like this is the character that turned into a serpent and convinced Eve to just be like, no, no, eat it. It's cool. That's good. No.
Since we're talking about the devil, one of my other favorite devils, because I love this guy on Supernatural, who's in Beirut.
Let me get this straight. You did you just say I love the devil?
I love the actor who plays...
Okay, all right. I want to make sure nobody takes you out of context there. Just be like Jane Ellen is a heretic.
I love the devil. So because this guy's funny and just a really good actor.
Okay.
And I have to bring you into the Supernatural fold because there's been a lot of really great acting going on there.
Honest to goodness, it is literally on my queue.
So
like I know that I'm deep diving whenever it's what 14 seasons in. I'm just saying I know this is a commitment. Like
it is.
Like I hardcore binged like X-Files like when I got into it. And I'm just saying like and that was 9 seasons.
Anna Grace wanted to see it and I've been rewatching the whole series. I want to say for about a year. And we are just finishing season 13. We're halfway through season 13. Season 14 is about to start up any day.
Okay,
October.
That's what I'm thinking of. All right.
So we're getting right up
usually,
there.
Usually CW, I think, does their stuff in October.
Yeah. So, for instance, there's this demon, Crowley. Love him. And, again, very sarcastic, hilarious. And so now he's more of a good guy.
Right.
Even though he's technically a demon, he's more of a good guy. And so he was hanging out with them, and they're all doing research. And he says, so this is what you do when I'm not around? You sit around and type? Because he sees, like, someone's on a phone, someone's on a tablet, and they go, yeah, pretty much.
And I guess if you could, like, travel through, like, different dimensions and planes of existence, typing probably seems a little mundane to you.
Yes. So there's that. The other Lucifer to whom I... love on the TV is the show Lucifer.
I was expecting that next.
And that show was saved. I don't remember
Going,
is it going to Hulu, Netflix? I don't remember.
I think I think it was Netflix, but I'm not certain about that.
Anyway, that Lucifer has a very, first of all, God, that guy is so gorgeous. So He's very, very charismatic, and he is very, very dapper. And his deal is like, I don't want to be down here anymore. I want to see what's going on with Earth. And in the meantime, the actor, who I know his name and, of course, have forgotten because I'm doing a podcast, the actor can legit sing, can legit play the piano. And so the character of Lucifer that he plays is one that can sing and play the piano. And so sometimes you get that, which I really love, because I love me a musical. You have no idea, except for Paint Your Wagon, which is also streaming, and it's terrible. Now, the Simpsons version of Paint Your Wagon is hilarious. The actual film Paint Your Wagon, I'll say it's hilarious, but it's not supposed to be. So this Lucifer, he's very interesting and ends up working with a police detective. And it's all about God's plan for him. And he makes the show's take on Lucifer is Lucifer was an angel and a fallen angel, blah, blah, blah. By the way, his black wings are so cool. But this Lucifer actually becomes a good guy because of the good people he is surrounded with. And he only wants to, he likes the way he feels around them. And he said, because he was cast down, he says, I don't decide who goes to hell. My job is strictly to be the punisher. So that's a different religious take. Yeah, and it's and so that's how they build the character.
Maybe it's not theologically supported,
right.
But like in the context of the show,
yes,
you can like that's
so that's how he can be a good guy.
Motivation, yeah,
very much so. And so.
I know that you know plenty about like Greek mythology. Like mm-hmm. Hades was not necessarily the master of the underworld.
Yeah, he kind of got stuck with it.
He was just. I mean, it was like he's kind of like Milton in mm-hmm. Office Space. Like he keeps getting stuffed up. Somebody's taking his stapler. Like,
and we're switching devils now. Let's go back to the Lucifer.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah, Hades and
we're switching devils, and we're going back to. By the way, they're both called Lucy, but the Lucifer in Supernatural.
And speaking of depictions of the devil, Woods in Hercules as Hades. Hades.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Lucy in Peanuts. She's devilish. I could make a case for that.
Yeah. I could see that too.
I could do a master's thesis. Is Lucy actually Satan? Why, yes. You may have a degree.
And Schultz definitely had some, like...
He had some issues.
Christian theology throughout, like, that the Peanuts run.
Oh, now I'm going to have to rewatch it and think of her as being the devil and all, because she's constantly tempting.
She tempts Charles.
Wow.
Come on, Chuck.
Did we just stumble on something hidden
deep? I think we did.
Deep?
Come on, kick the football.
Come on, you know
Bite
you want
apple.
To.
Bite the apple.
You know you want to do
it. You'll
have
the knowledge of good and evil.
You got to trust me.
Go for it.
Come on.
Arrgh!
Every time. Huh.
Every single. It's like the Trix rabbit and trying to, like the.
Wow.
Come on, guys. Trix rabbit's like 70 now and he's eaten Trix like twice. Just give him a bowl.
True that.
Or, you know, give him as much as he wants, okay? It's stupid cereal and he's a rabbit. Just give it to him.
I know.
He's a talking rabbit.
I know. He doesn't want carrots. Okay, so the supernatural Lucifer, now, because of all of the other dimensions, he is not in the dimension that he is from.
Right.
But
originated.
Because the Lucifer from the dimension, the apocalypse dimension that he is stuck in, he's gone. And so this Lucifer becomes a good guy. And I just saw the episode where he made it back to his... To the regular world, this is the supernatural iteration of... Yes. So, and it's hilarious because he's now kind of a good guy because of what he went through, and he wants something done. He just shows up in, like, L.A. or wherever, and you see him go, don't you know who I am? And he goes, And they just look at him like he's a crazy man because he doesn't have his, you know, supernatural powers.
Right.
And
he's not spreading black wings.
And it's funny because he'll, like, go up to people and go, wah! And, like, nothing. So, as you can see.
Get out of my face.
As you can see, it can be funny. The devil's in the details. And that's why we love the marvelous.
The devil that you know.
The marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Totally. Why did we talk about the devil? I don't know. Anyway,
probably something when we stumbled onto like streaming apps and
It
was somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly how it happened.
I'm also thinking the idea of streaming app one day, you know, when we're harder of hearing, we're going, you got the what? Well, in my day, I used to use my phone that I didn't usually talk on.
My cellular.
I took pictures on it and they're like, a phone? You mean the thing
that's downloaded directly into our eye sockets now?
I know. I think that there's going to be a time.
You look like a Borg with that there apparatus on you. Well, the Borg were a thing.
I don't think there's going to be a TV, you know? I think that's going to... Bye-bye. Because there's going to be some other way we digest it.
Like we project it on our wall, like
yes.
It's directly taken into like our minds, like we... We have an apparatus that allows us to see it in three dimensions.
Yes, that allows... This is what's going to happen. There's going to be some sort of mind thing or some other thing where you and I can be in different parts of the world, but we can connect and watch the same thing at the same time in our heads.
Not unlike kind of like Xbox Live and group chatting, but with television, and probably doing it to a certain degree in a three-dimensional space in the virtual world.
Yes.
Probably. Now, I don't know how to set any of that up.
Neither do I.
By God, if I could copyright that.
I know. Yeah,
I'm just saying that we are literally sitting on $1 billion idea.
I just
don't know how to program the zeros and ones to that.
No, I just know that I won't be surprised when someone says, we don't need no stinking TV and a keyboard upon which you use your fingers.
They're going to look like the way Scotty.
Yes.
And he's a computer.
Yes.
A keyboard. How quaint. go back and watch Star Trek 4, kids.
For instance, speaking of Amazon, and I'm going to make this quick. We have to make this quick. Speaking of Amazon, so Amazon has now released their own microwave. What does that have to do with streaming apps? Wait.
That was what I was waiting for.
It's hooked up to Amazon Alexa. Again, I'm thinking, I still got to put the food in it. Do you have an incredibly complex microwave that you don't use half the buttons on?
No, I have a really cheap one that only does
like on
three
and off.
Things.
Okay.
There's a timer and it heats things.
Okay. Well, mine has stuff.
Oh, and there's a clock.
Okay. Mine has stuff that I don't even know half of what it does because I never bothered to learn. I just keep hitting the 30 seconds over and over, and that's my life. I just like, I am not going to learn this.
I am the person that like gets out the, like, I know everything that all of my devices do.
Except my microwave.
Well, that's not my device. I don't come over
to
your house
care.
And just be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, I'm getting personal with your microwave. I want to know what it does.
Well, this is, if they do it right, because apparently, think about this, microwaves, they haven't really changed since 2014.
I mean, not especially.
No. We all use them. We're like, hey, this is great. We found out that they don't cause cancer or heart attacks. We're all using them.
Sometimes it dries your food out.
Yes.
That's about it.
So, hooked into Alexa, if it works properly, you say to your microwave, defrost 2 pounds of meat. You don't have to program anything. The Alexa knows and tells your microwave whatever it's going to need to do it properly. So your food is never too hot. It's never cold here and hot there.
It's almost like your popcorn setting on some
yes.
of them. And it just pops.
It's always right.
Yeah, instead of burning your popcorn, like a lot of the popcorn settings seem to.
Precisely. So if done correctly, I can now see why this would be valuable and, dare I say, game-changing. So when it comes to TV,
I mean, honestly,
and viewing,
as far as, like, technological achievements in microwaving, just being able to be like, you know, instead of me guessing, you go in 5 minutes, and then I get it out, and I'm like,
right.
Ah.
It's supposed to know. And again, which brings us back to Jack Donaghy from the microwave division of GE, and here we are, 30 Rock, closure, end credits.
It's the way we meant it to happen.
Yes. So watch Atypical on Netflix. I think it is fresh and new. And on Amazon, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel certainly deserved the Emmy. I don't know what won the Emmy for. I don't know if it was Best Comedy or Best Clothes or something.
It was
other,
Best Something.
They won an Emmy.
It's extra good.
Yeah, they won an Emmy. And it's funny. And season two is going to drop before the end of the year. So
you should do it.
You should do that. And next time I want to discuss Daredevil is being killed off in a comic book, but not the Netflix show.
That's
or is
not
that
entirely
like a Death of Superman thing? They always come back.
Here's the catch about any superhero. Like, you're only going to do that so long as you can sell comic books or like whatever. Like, okay, Superman got married at the same time in the TV show and the comic books. But that was more or less because the comics didn't want the television show to do it before they could, because they had more or less been told, you can't do that. Then the television show decides they're going to do it, and the comic book division is like, you have literally been telling us for 60 years that we couldn't do that. And they're like, oh, you can do it now, but you've got 4 months to make it happen in the comic books. And they're like,
I hate you.
Oh, fine. They don't, I mean, they're, think of them as alternate realities. Like,
okay,
the one hand does not necessarily wash the other. Like, Daredevil can be dead, or, I mean, he can, sometimes you'll have instances of characters being different. Like, you can have Hal Jordan as Green Lantern in the movie, even if Hal Jordan is Parallax in the comic book, and Kyle Rayner is actually Green Lantern in that situation.
You're saying words.
I'm just saying, you don't always have to sync. Everything doesn't have to sync up.
All right, well, then I'll ignore it, because you and I both, the Daredevil Netflix is our favorite Netflix iteration of Marvel, and I don't want it to end ever.
I even, I will tell you this, like if it is, if he is destined to die in that, I don't think he stays gone long. Because keep in mind, Elektra, who was in, what, season two of it, didn't she die?
Oh, yeah.
And what does the hand have? I'm pointing out, like,
and wouldn't it be funny if they write in the comic book Death of Daredevil, and it's like because he tripped on a banana peel or something?
That would be, I mean, that would be a, that would be a very mundane way for the man without fear to die. But I was like, when you, like, Daredevil exists within the Avengers universe, you have a character that just assembled five Infinity Gems, like, to wipe out half the population of the Earth. Literally, he could do anything with that. For, to say that death has a finality in that, like, I mean, it's just, I don't want to say it's silly, but like.
And doesn't that reflect our conversation today of our religious view? There is everlasting life.
That's what I think we were talking about.
I do
was
believe.
The Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos. Probably.
We've had, this podcast has been an onion.
Man, it has been all over the place.
That's
but I'm just
right.
saying, like,
we got layers, man.
Okay, if you die in an episode of NCIS, you don't have like supernatural, like Doctor Strange exists within the Marvel universe. Daredevil exists within the Marvel universe. I'm sure there's
anything
a spell out there that, like, unbullets him or
Speaking
whatever.
Speaking of spells, have you read the story about the former drummer of Beyonce who has said that Beyonce practices serious black magic and is responsible for killing her cat and has been magicking spells at her for years?
No, but I'm going to tell you this right now. They ever do a biopic about her? I want that included.
That's so funny.
I'm sure she has a fascinating life. Like, she, what, married Jay-Z or whatever. Like, that's all well and good. But I'm telling you, like, underlying and all that, if you make her also, like, a sorceress.
Okay, that would be really
cool. I'm just saying.
I'd watch that.
You've got, like, if I'm not there opening weekend, I'm definitely at least Redboxing that puppy just going, yeah, so I didn't know this. But, like, apparently Beyonce was, like, Maleficent or something?
Because I want to tell you, some of the early videos of the group.
Destiny's Child?
Yes.
Why did I know that and you didn't?
I used to giggle at Beyonce's dancing lack of skills. In some of the early Destiny's Child stuff. Now, maybe she was
Until
just 17.
She conjured it.
Yes!
The black magic!
Yes!
She literally sold her, like, not unlike when Ariel sells her voice to Ursula in order to gain legs. Like,
see?
Beyonce, like,
as
comes to one
magicking.
Of the versions of Lucifer that we talked about today.
Well, that's what this drummer thinks, and she tried to get an order of protection, and the judge says, no. Because I don't think Beyonce really has time to devote to making her former drummer miserable. I mean, she seems kind of busy.
Unless she does practice
Unless
black magic.
She does.
And she's got like a voodoo doll of the judge, and she's like, you will die within 3 days. Like, I don't know what she does.
Oh,
like
you
that.
Know that there are conspiracy boards going, yep, true, totally.
I'm not saying it's true. I don't have any evidence to support that it's true.
It's hilarious.
And I don't even know of any instances of black magic, like, with documentable proof. I just want that to be true because
it's funny.
Oh, I love the narrative possibilities.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening on this week's Religious Highlights. Binge or Cringe. We got lots of stuff. To work through
right.
and talk about. So thank you very much for sticking with us. And we'll watch new stuff by next week. Probably.
Most likely.
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds probable.
Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.